Hi, I'm Lauren Gilger, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each Friday, we review the biggest stories of the week with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here is this week's episode.
Kamala Harris and the administration wants to fix this problem. She's worked on this problem, you know, for 3.5 years, and it's a challenging problem.
The dreams we have for our country and for our families, they are on the ballot in November. And this is why we have got to reelect Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. We've got to do everything that we can to get President Trump over that finish line.
It's just a real outpouring, and it's overwhelming. I'm just honored that they put their trust in me, and I'm just hoping that can make them all proud.
People know that we're going to fight for them, and we know that it's a strong campaign. It helps to also have a very exciting campaign on the top of the ticket, too.
Who is ready to save this country?
This morning, I am joined by two politicos from both sides of the aisle. We have Stacey Pearson, Democratic consultant with Lumen Strategies, and former state school superintendent Jaime Molera, now with the firm Molera Alvarez. Good morning to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so obviously a very big week in politics here in Arizona. We had a primary election. We had a vice presidential contender visit. We have another vice presidential contender possibly in our midst. So lots to talk about. And I want to start with the former there. Let's start with Senator Mark Kelly. So much chatter about him being maybe in the final, maybe two contenders for Kamala Harris's VP pick. It's heating up. Word has it she'll make a selection by Tuesday. Kelly says, though, he will be in Arizona next week. People reading into every bit of scheduling happening here. Stacey, I want to start with you. Do you think this will really happen? What are the odds?
Oh, I think the odds are good, right? Arizona has elected him twice. A red state has elected him twice. And certainly it's against some crazy candidates that he was running against. But his resume is extraordinary, and the nation could use some of Mark Kelly.
The nation could use it. Jaime, how smart do you think it would be for the Harris campaign to pick somebody like Kelly for those reasons, but also for location, right, for Arizona, for the swing state status here? Would she be better off picking somebody like, you know, the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro? There's, you know, maybe more votes to be had there in the Electoral College.
Well, the thing about Senator Kelly is that he brings a lot to the table, not just electoral votes, and certainly Arizona is going to be a battleground state. But being a former military hero, being a former astronaut, being all those things that I think appeal to a lot of Americans. And I think his stature in the United States Senate, along with everything that else he's accomplished, and not the least of which is being married to Gabby Giffords, who's also extremely popular.
Yeah.
You could just see him being a very powerful force on that ticket. And it's interesting when as these rumors are starting to circulate and percolate. I think Governor Hobbs is going to get a lot more Christmas cards this year if that were to happen, because there'd be a lot of people interested in that job.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next step kind of question, right, Stacey? Like, what do you think this sets up in terms of somebody to replace him potentially?
Well, I think that's probably his biggest liability, is putting that seat back in contention in 2 years.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened with Obama's first term when he had control of the House and the Senate. There was a backlash 2 years later. Mm-hmm. And so putting that seat up to up for that interim election unnecessarily, I think, is going to be his biggest liability.
Interesting. Let me ask you, Jaime, about the border here. Like, that's perceived to be one of Kamala Harris's, you know, political weaknesses. Obviously, we're a border state. Kelly's from here. He's from Tucson. Is that something he could help with?
Possibly. It is a big issue for the Democrats in this election cycle, because right now, every poll that I've seen, security border issues are number one.
Yeah.
And usually when they're number one, it's better for Republicans, usually. I think Senator Kelly will help mitigate that to some extent. But still, that's going to be an area the Republicans are going to be really hitting the Democrats hard at all levels, not just in this presidential race.
Yeah. Stacey, what does Kelly's record look like on the border? Like, how has he approached the issue in the past?
Well, certainly the border bill that got scuttled, you know, crushed earlier this year by candidate Trump, Kelly was a leader on and getting that across, getting that out of the Senate. He understands what needs to be done. We have a congressional stalemate. That's the problem. We're not funding through our Congress, our absolute concrete set psychotic Congress, we're not funding better technology, faster processing, better background checks, more Border Patrol agents. And Mark Kelly certainly understands that.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone excited for Tuesday. Jaime, you think this is going to happen?
Well, I think there's a very, very good chance. I would say right now it's a coin flip. I think they're looking at all aspects of it. Certainly, Governor Shapiro gives a lot of impact for the possible ticket just because of the electoral votes Pennsylvania brings, but also the region.
Yeah.
The Midwest region is going to be so important. So I think there's a lot of folks doing a lot of poll watching and number crunching.
And waiting. Okay. So Kelly or no Kelly on the ticket, right? It seems that Arizona is going to be, you know, inundated for the next 3 months here until November. We just had J.D. Vance here this week. We've got Kamala Harris coming. What is Arizona's status heading into November, Stacey? Like, we have heard this shift in recent weeks, but then maybe it's shifted again as the entire presidential race has shifted, right? Are we a toss-up state or are we leans Republican, as the Cook Political Report reclassified us?
Oh, make no mistake, we are Republican. Hmm. We absolutely are. There are more registered Republicans than Democrats or independents, but we have consistently rejected crazy people. So we, despite our Republican registration advantage, we have not elected MAGA in quite some time. So we look at Governor Hobbs, who defeated Carrie Lake. We look at Senator Kelly, who defeated Blake Masters. We look at Paul Penzone, even, which was the beginning of this, who defeated Joe Arpaio. We are a Republican state with sane conservative principles.
What's your take there, Jaime?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think if you look at Carrie Lake's numbers, for instance, her negatives are pretty significant. I mean, they're above 50%. And that's always difficult to come back on. It's always difficult to change a person's perception if they don't like you, if they have a negative opinion of you. And so that gives the Democrats an opportunity. Ruben Gallego, if he were running against a John Kyle, for instance, or some
sure.
what I would call traditional conservative, I think he'd have a hard time winning.
Yeah.
But in this era, he's going to have an opportunity to become the next U.S. senator from Arizona.
Yeah. Let me ask you about something you just brought up, Stacey, which is the registration numbers, right, which has shifted recently again. They
right.
always kind of shift heading into a primary, but it seems more dramatic this time. We're seeing Republicans in the state with this growing and really pretty significant registration advantage over Democrats. Independents also big registration advantage over Democrats. Is this as significant as the numbers make it seem?
Yes. It's literally keeping me up at night. Where did they go? You know, we are roughly 100,000 fewer registered Democrats today than we were 4 years ago.
Huh.
And that is significant when both other big blocks of voters have grown. And so our gap, I mean, Democrats had a 20,000 voter gap 4 years ago over independents. Now we're underwater by 250,000. So where did they go? Where did the Democrats go? Why did they leave? Why won't they come back? Someone go find them. If they're listening right now, call me. I'll help you. I'll help you get through your voter registration. You know, it's we really need to figure out what is happening and then make sure that we're talking to those voters. You know, it's probably, you know, there's a thousand theories, but they've moved. If it's new residents, they've moved here from California. They were probably lifelong registered Democrats. Why did they register as independents? Was it traffic? Is it policy issues? Or were they mad about traffic and homelessness and crime? Or, you know, what's happening? We have to figure it out.
And there really aren't answers to that right now. We're really just guessing.
Right now, it's guessing. And I talk more about this right now with clients and funders and campaigns than anything else. Border policy is third to where did the Democrats go and how are we going to get them back?
So from the Republican side of that, Jaime, then, I mean, like, that big of a voter advantage, a registration advantage, I think it's like 260,000, right, more
yeah.
Republicans than Democrats. Like, this is significant. Does that guarantee wins, though, in a lot of
no.
these races?
No, it certainly helps.
Yeah.
But the Republicans need to figure out a way to make sure that they vote. And not only vote, but they vote Republican. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Republican women, for instance, that have a big problem with President Trump, particularly on abortion issues. That tends to be a huge wedge issue. But if they can focus on areas of, for instance, the border,
uh-huh.
if they can focus on the economy, certainly some of the data coming out showing that the United States might be going into a recession certainly will not help this administration. Those are the kinds of things they need to be focused on, and they really need to drive the debate and the focus of this election on those issues.
Are we seeing that happen?
Starting to. I think to various degrees. I think you've seen that at different levels. For instance, the state legislature, that's going to be a big battle and whether or not the Democrats can maybe get control over that.
Yeah.
But I think the Republican message has been very consistent and very strong on those areas that I just talked about.
Do you agree, Stacey?
Well, I think certainly politicians who have discipline are talking about those issues very well. And then you've got the top of the ticket in Donald Trump, who's just bonkers, right? Who's questioning whether or not Kamala Harris turned black last week. I mean, we're really talking about some crazy top of ticket issues. But, you know, looking at going into this upcoming election, we see where the Democrats are going. It is abortion, 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 freedom, freedom, freedom.
Mm. Are those going to be winning issues, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you think through the number of signatures that the abortion measure just turned in. I mean, 800,000, north of 800,000 signatures. There were 7,000 volunteers. I've worked on ballot initiatives now for almost a decade, and I've never seen numbers anywhere near that.
Let me ask you about that, Jaime. I mean, like, yeah. Is abortion going to be as central in November as it was maybe a year ago?
I don't think it will, because I think we've had this debate now, and there's going to be an initiative on the ballot where people can decide what they want to do. So if Republicans, again, focus on the top issues that are in people's minds right now, which is the economy, that's first and foremost, and feeling secure in our state, that's going to be the messages that they're going to need to have in order to be successful. I just think that while abortion is a big issue, yeah, and I think it can be a wedge issue for Republicans, if they can stay committed to that message and focused on what they need to do, then I think they might have a lot of success.
Let's jump right back in and get into the primaries, which we haven't even gotten to because so much is happening right now in politics. Big primary election this week. Lots of things I want to talk about. But I want to start with the most, probably one of the most watched races, at least coming out of this primary, which was the Maricopa County Recorder race, a race mm-hmm. that used to not be
right.
political almost at all and no one really thought about, but now is hugely political for the last several cycles because of election denialism. Stephen Richer lost this primary. He has spent his entire term defending election integrity in the state as a conservative Republican, fending off election denialism. He lost to Justin Heap, who hasn't outright denied the election results of the last two elections, but has voted to do things like restrict early voting, ban electronic tabulation machines. Jaime, I want to ask you about this. What does it mean to elections going forward that Richer lost here?
Well, I think it would have been much more significant had a couple of the county supervisor races gone differently. So, for instance, Thomas Galvin ended mm-hmm. up holding on to his seat against the challenger, Jenty Rita. Now, she would have been much more aggressive and attacking. Kay Brophy McGee also won her primary. So that might provide some kind of an ability to keep a lid on what happens, similar to when Joe Arpaio was sheriff and mm-hmm. the county supervisors were always a battle with him. But they were the ultimate overseers of whatever the policy was. So I think that's going to be a significant. Now, the Democrat challenger, I think, has new life
right.
running against Justin Heap. But it'll be interesting to see how if he comes out and runs as a what I call a traditional conservative, then I think he has a good chance of winning.
Okay, so that is a really good point, right? Because we're looking at now an entirely new race with a candidate on the Democrat side, Stacey, who no one has really heard of. Tim Stringham has an interesting history and an interesting reason for getting into this race, I've read very recently. But tell us a little bit about the race that this sets up.
So he's done a phenomenal job right out of the gate explaining to people who he is. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, some of my most politically connected friends said, mm-hmm. who is Tom Stringbow? And, which is not his name.
I was about to correct you.
Tim Stringham. but certainly we're all going to know his name very, very quickly. And I think we're going to see some significant investments in the democracy defense folks that are kind of floating, like the funders, these guys that kind of float in the dark clouds and spend money in races. We're going to see lots of money spent in this race to make sure it doesn't fall to a guy that believes that mail-in ballots need to go away.
So, I mean, where does Justin Heap stand on some of this? Because he's been a little bit in the middle on some things. He's, like I said, not come outright and said, you know, these elections were stolen. You're saying, Jaime, if he runs this and kind of stays away from those extremisms, he might be able to win it?
I think so. I think just because we talked about earlier, the registration advantage that the Republicans have in Maricopa County could be a difficult thing for somebody to overcome. Now, it can happen. I mean, a lot of people didn't know who Adrian Fuentes was either when he ran for county recorder. So there's always that possibility. But I'm a big believer in these elections. Republicans have to be disciplined and they have to show the voters that they're going to be attacking the issues that Arizonans care about, not just what the fringe element says they need to be talking about.
What is the party look like right now on the GOP side? Like, how much of the party is going to be under the MAGA wing, and how much is what you're saying, you know, is more traditional Republican conservative?
Well, I'm sure Stacey has some thoughts about that.
I actually have a diagram.
I think that the Republican Party right now, if you look at these primaries that just happened,
right,
it was not dominated by all the MAGA candidates.
But a lot of them did win.
A lot of them won, but it wasn't dominated by it. Yeah. And I think you're starting to see folks like I said, Kate Brophy McGee, Vince Leach, for instance, beats Justine Watzak down in the Pima County area. Mm-hmm. Those were pretty significant wins. And it allows Republicans to stay away from what I would call some of the craziness of these elections discussions and debates. And if they can get those kinds of candidates in place, then Democrats are going to have a hard time winning.
Stacey?
We will not have a hard time winning. But in my office, we actually drew a center line kind of representing moderate policy, right? Kind of common sense, everybody agrees policy. There were far more MAGA candidates that won. And the Democrats who won were closer to that line. Mm. And so the more extreme Democrats did not win. But, you know, and Jaime pointed out the anomalies in there. But we have a Fincham who beat Ken Bennett. And we've got other lunatics that beat traditional conservative candidates. And so I think it's going to be a wild ride. And all of that's going to play into November and whether or not the Democrats can take a chamber.
Right. So let's talk about that, because the Democrats have been talking about trying to take one or both of the chambers in the state legislature for so long. They really want to do this. There's already this big campaign. The governor seems to be launching right now, multi-million dollar campaign to try to flip at least one of these chambers. Stacey, it's looking right now like this is more likely in the Senate than the House.
Certainly. The Senate is the best chance. But what I think we're going to focus on, what we're going to see the Democrats do for the first time, is talk about what's possible with a Democratic governor and a governing majority, even if it's just some moderate Republicans in the House and the Senate. And if we can zoom out a little bit and talk about restoring full day kindergarten and talk about some common sense limits on the school voucher program and talk about better funded transportation, feeding kids lunch, you know, getting people better access to medical care, I think we've got the best chance we've ever had of taking those chambers.
What do you think, Jaime?
Well, I think the best that the Democrats can do is split the Senate. That's the very best they can do, because I think with Vince Leach's win in the primary, surprising win in the primary, that takes a seat away from the Democrats. I think Vince is going to be very difficult to
beat.
Right,
they thought they might be able to beat Justine Watzak.
Shauna Bullock is the other senator that they're targeting.
North Phoenix district there, yeah.
I wouldn't consider her to be one of the hard right MAGA-type candidates. I mean, she's very fiscally conservative, very conservative. I think that's the one they're going to target and try and, like I said, split the Senate. But that's the best they can do, in my opinion.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't. I think Shauna is a very disciplined and formidable campaigner. I know Judy Schwiebert's a good candidate also. But again, with the numbers favoring the Republicans, especially in those districts, if they go back to the messaging, if they stay on message and they talk about those things that Arizonans care about, particularly border security and the economy, I think the Republicans should do well.
What do you think the issues are going to look like here at the local level, Stacey?
So I think the budget is going to be the biggest issue. Mm. You know, how do you get blood out of a rock, really? We're not looking at an increase in taxes on the foreseeable future. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So where do you make cuts to fund priorities that Arizonans care about? And we're going to have to talk about meaningful criminal justice reform. We have to. We've got one of the largest populations in prisons in the country and the worst recidivism rates. Like, it's not working. We're going to have to figure something else out there. We're going to have to talk about getting education funding back on track, both K through 12 and college education. I mean, tuitions are too high. I think we're going to be talking about the issues that really matter most to people when they're sitting at home on a Sunday trying to figure out whether or not they can pay their bills next week.
Yeah. Kitchen table issues at the very most. If the Democrats do get control or at least split one of the chambers, right, are we just looking at more gridlock then? Like, what does that do if they don't take total control?
Well, I think it's very much going to be this governing majority. There are going to be, you know, what Kate Brophy McGee used to be in the legislature, the Democrats will make friends with moderate Republicans who see what jobs need to be done, what their job really is.
You're talking about actual bipartisanship?
I know it's a weird concept, but yes, sometimes Republicans and Democrats come together on issues that matter.
Okay.
So I think that's what the focus is going to be.
What do you think, Jaime? Is that possible in this climate?
Oh, sure. I think that the governor is certainly wanting to see at least a split Senate, because I think that gives them a lot more leverage, particularly on how they deal with the budget issues. But I agree with Stacey. The budget is going to be paramount. And I don't think people understand how significant the deficits are right now. And it's going to get worse.
Exactly.
So there's going to be a lot of weight that's going to fall on the governor to try and pull this together, try and build those kinds of coalitions. But it makes it a lot more difficult if the Republicans are in control.
Yeah. OK. So final minute here and a fun thing for you to end on here, because everyone's talking about it, watching it constantly. The Olympics. Tell me each, both of you, what are you watching, Stacey?
I am so excited for ping pong. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. But you have to watch. Everyone has to watch The Art of Those Serves.
The Art of Those Serves in ping pong. All right, Jaime.
Well, I was going to say breakdancing, but the truth is, I think basketball, men and women's basketball, there's always exciting to watch.
We got Durant. We got Kevin or Devin Booker in there. I mean, this is good stuff.
That's right.
Arizona's
well represented.
Well represented at the Olympics. We will leave it there for now. That is Jaime Malera, former state school superintendent, now with Malera Alvarez and Stacey Pearson with Lumen Strategies, joining us for the Friday Newscap. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the biggest stories of the week with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Lauren Gilger. Thanks for listening.